So there's this story circulating about a patient who goes to see his physician, complaining about pain in several places. And the doctor asks him to indicate where he's hurting. And so he first points to his leg, and he points to his back, and he points to his side, and he points to his head. So after this careful examination, the physician realizes the problem. You have a broken finger. Oh, that was pretty bad, huh? So recently I was sitting in a room with several people that I know very well, and one of them explained a new ailment that they were having, and the rest of us just kept asking questions, and we attempted to diagnose what this ailment could be. And so it was like playing 20 questions, only the outcome was a complete uncertain diagnosis of this person's health condition. The diagnoses ranged in possibility from imminent death to a mere sunburn or something like that, right? You probably play this game too, probably with some frequency, because we are so preoccupied with health talk. And if you don't have a group of friends or family to play this little game with, well, you probably do it on WebMD or something like that online, where they'll ask you a series of questions related to your symptoms before giving you a mountain of potential diagnoses, which will worry you to death. Most doctors and probably our parish nurses would tell us not to listen to such things or go to WebMD, but rather go to see your doctor. Or you have these two wonderful nurses as resources right here in this congregation, so use them too. I've found it interesting, as I visit with people who are sick or people in the hospital, that we often find ourselves talking about physical ailments, searching for solutions, or maybe just processing our thoughts aloud so that somebody might be able to ask the right questions of their doctor. Certainly the right person to answer their questions isn't me, but when we talk about the ailments, we often talk about these things as if they are machines, right? Our bodies as machines, like a car needing repairs. That yearly flu shot becomes like a regular oil change. The broken bone is like body work that needs to be done after an accident. A knee or a hip replacement is like needing to replace a transmission. Now, some of these physical ailments do require these simple mechanical remedies, maybe with medicine or surgery or just time for healing. But much of our health is far more difficult to compare simply to a vehicle or some other machine. Because God has made these bodies of ours with a grander complexity and intricacy. And God has made these bodies to change over time with various interactions, no body developing the same. So as a focal theme for this Health Promotion Sunday, the nurses wanted to focus in on the mind, healthy mind, healthy lives. The human mind remains one of life's greatest mysteries. It's one thing to understand how muscle and bone interact to move a joint, but it's a whole other field to try to understand what's happening in our brains. The brain cannot be easily compared to some machine that requires a changing of parts or a little oil. No, the brain might best be just compared to the vastness of the internet, this conglomerate of facts and memories and ideas, feelings, anxieties, all pulled to the forefront as we need them. The human mind is more incredible than that. So how do you promote keeping the mind healthy? Well, culturally, we do a lot of things. We promote this positive thinking, always look on the bright side thing. We believe in continuing education, that it's important to always be learning something new. We promote reading over other forms of media consumption. We promote detox time for our brains with days off and vacation. And we value sharing time with people who value and support you. But we also know that some issues of the mind are so overwhelming that outside help is needed. Issues related to anxiety and depression, trauma, can be helped through professional counseling and medication. Then there's diseases of the mind that must be handled with professional help. Alzheimer's and various forms of dementia. These are not things that you do alone. But nor should these things be a cause for shame for anybody. Health issues of the mind and brain still carry a good bit of taboo in our society, from things like depression to dementia to personality disorders to schizophrenia to Alzheimer's. But these things shouldn't cause such grief. Do you squabble over knee replacements or strep throats in the same way as these? No. So let's learn to deal with healthy minds openly and supportively of one another. Our faith has a role to play in this too. I'm intrigued by the scriptures that provide us a promoting of a healthy mind. First and foremost, I'm reminded of the gift of the Sabbath. The mind needs a break, doesn't it? It needs a break from that high intensity of work that happens on every other day of the week. This is a day to rest your physical body, yes, but maybe more importantly, to rest your minds, for they are weary. So sit challenging matters aside and think on something else today, something holy. The other gift that Scripture gives us, reminds us of, is this recurring theme in the letters of Paul, that brothers and sisters in the church ought to encourage one another, build one another up. Paul's word is to edify. An example is Ephesians 4:29, which says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it." The job of the community of believers is to support, to build up, to edify. That's not to say that there isn't a time for challenging one another, but challenge comes only because we want and expect growth out of all of us. And so we challenge with love and with grace. So do you find time to rest your mind? Do you surround yourself with people who edify you? Do you work to edify others? One of the texts that Emma read for us this morning is probably very familiar, Romans 12:2. "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, that good and pleasing and perfect will." In this text, Paul is suggesting that renewing our mind is necessary in understanding God's will. I just want to unpack this for a moment. The first section of the scripture says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world." That opening phrase has been very important to us brethren since our founding, right? We're a peculiar people. You don't look like the rest of this world. At one point, that meant keeping your beard trimmed in just the right way, wearing plain clothes, not driving that car. But today, it's going to look different. Maybe it's don't get caught up in all the hoopla that is political discourse. Maybe it's be the person who goes to sit with the stranger. Maybe it's be that person who goes out of their way for somebody in need. The assumption is that the patterns of this world are in the end not good for your mind. Rather, what is good for your mind is being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation and renewal. Both these words have to do with change, with trying something new, trying something different, with pushing yourself to understand something difficult. Transformation and renewal do not come through repetitions of the same thing over and over, but rather a desire to push deeper. If you continually read the same scripture, assuming you already know what it means, then transformation will not come. But if you read that same scripture with an attitude that God might have something new to teach you, then God will teach you something new. Then transformation might happen. Believe it or not, our minds like change. They crave the new. In fact, our minds are going to change whether we want it or not. So feed your mind by allowing it to engage God in a fresh way, in a new way. If you do this, Romans 12:2 finishes by saying, then you will be able to test and approve of God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Understanding God's will for your life is dependent on your willingness to change, to renew. So in a sense, if a healthy life is dependent on following God's will, God's good and perfect will, and understanding God's will comes down to your willingness to change and transform, then that's an awful lot of pressure on your mind. A healthy mind is one that allows transformation. But you know that natural human tendency is to resist transformation and keep things the same. Well, sorry. The gospel is change. The world is changing. You know that. As soon as Jesus shows up on the scene in Mark's gospel, he says, repent and believe in the good news. Those are his first words. Repent means to change course, to redirect your path, to change. In this case, change and believe something new. The nature of the good news that you are to believe in is that it is different. Different than everything else you're taught in this world. So you're going to need to change, to redirect, to repent. Of all of that which you thought you knew about this life. Jesus' intent for our living is to be different. Understanding Jesus' intent for our lives. That might just depend on your healthy mind. So I urge you to keep it well and to pursue a healing when needed. Healing of mind, body, spirit. Amen.